Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to Cosmopolitans All The Way With. I'm Laura Capon.
And I'm Paisley Gilmore. And this week we'll be joined by Frankie, who's in an open marriage.
So, Paisley.
This is going to be a personal question.
Yeah, I'm not married or, and I've never been in an open relationship, but I wondered, have you?
I haven't, Laura Capon, but obviously this is my job, talking about this kind of thing. And it's something that I've thought about a lot and tried to pursue, but I went about it the wrong way. So it didn't really go to plan.
Is that because your partner wasn't into it equally, kind of thing?
Yeah, like we were already together. And then I got this idea in my head that I wanted to try opening the relationship. But then like I did it all wrong.
Because it's one of those things, the more people we talk to on here, like when we spoke to Karen, the sex therapist, and she said monogamy, I can never say monogamy, that it's so like dated and it doesn't actually suit people. And then obviously we had the throuple, and it does make me think, why do I not see that as an option, as a viable option? Do you know what I mean?
Why do you not see polyamory?
Yeah, it's something to me that I can't ever imagine being a part of.
Yeah, but that's just like any preference, right? Like some people can see the institution of marriage as a load of old nonsense, but still want to get married because that's just what they want. So you can identify monogamy as a bit old fashioned, but also be like, well, it's still what I want to do.
So the opposite is a monogamous relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what if you had to pick, what do you think you would pick?
Well, I don't know, because I've only tried monogamy and it hasn't really worked for me. And that's why I'm now thinking potentially, you know, this might be worth trying. So I don't know long term. But you would always pick monogamy, right?
Yeah, but although I never tried the other. But also it's like maybe I should just try and get one person and then then find a couple like more. But you did go on a swingers holiday, right? I mean, I'm saying right like I don't know. I know you went on a swingers holiday.
I went on a swingers holiday.
That is one. I mean, honestly, I'd like a whole episode on that. But what were the couples like? Were they just like normal? Did they seem quite, do I use the word zany?
My dad always said zany. Yes, Eric, they were quite zany. I went with an ex-boyfriend who I was with in a monogamous relationship, but things were going a bit badly. And I wrongly thought that going on this holiday would mean I could screw other people and that would sort everything out, which obviously in retrospect was a total, you know, mistake. But so we met lots of other people and they were all young. It was like a special week for young people, and they were mainly Americans, so they were quite zany, to be honest. Yeah. This is just generalizing from the people I met, and it's not making a generalization about swingers or open relationship people in general, but they were just all like super sexual, which is fine. But I know in general, people who are in open relationships aren't all super sexual. It's not just about the sex. But these ones, I mean, they'd gone on holiday to, you know, shag. So they were rather zany.
But like Kathy in the throuple, she wasn't like, she said she wasn't like super sexual, was she?
Exactly.
I don't know. I just feel like I kind of keep hearing about more and more throuples. And I'm like, is this the way forward? I mean, I guess I'll have to question Frankie on that. But I guess it's just lucky that they found someone, like you said, that wants to do it with them. It must be so hard if, like you said, if your partner wasn't into it. I don't know, to get two people that both want to make that leap. I don't know. I feel that's quite difficult.
No, and I think it's really rare. And for it to work is like amazing. So I can't wait to hear about like the logistics of how they do it.
Should we, I don't know why I always say roll her out as if she's coming on a stage on like a chair that we're going to carry. I think we should just get Frankie on.
Let's do it.
We're joined today by Frankie Cookney, a 36-year-old sex writer. Frankie has been married to her husband for 4 years, but they've been together for over 10. About 5 years in, they decided to open their relationship, meaning they now both regularly date and sleep with other partners. They also have a 2-year-old child together. Hi, Frankie.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So I'm very intrigued. I feel like we should just get straight into it.
Sure.
Can you give us a background to how you met and the beginning of your relationship?
So, yeah, we met 10 years ago on a dating website because apps weren't invented in those days. So it was an actual website where you had to type with your fingers. We went on a first date and hit it off, and obviously kind of the relationship developed from there. And when we met, we were had definitely both monogamous, had never been in a open relationship before. Don't think I even really knew terms like non-monogamous or polyamory at that time. But we were both really interested in like discussing sex and relationships outside of the box, you know, just sort of like questioning why did things have to be a certain way. So we'd always, I think that's one thing that I always say to people is like, we'd always had loads of conversations about sex and relationships that were sort of like, what if this and why do people do that? So once we sort of discovered the idea of non-monogamy, it wasn't that crazy to us by that point.
Have you always been a sex writer as well?
No, I've always been a journalist. And then I guess my interest in sex writing, yeah, as opposed to having kind of developed. I mean, I've been a journalist for like 12, 13 years now. So I suppose it developed over that time. So I was on staff at a national newspaper for the first 7 years of my career. I've been freelance now for about 4 or 5 years. And basically one of the reasons I went freelance was to focus a bit more on writing about sex. So I guess you could kind of time it from then. Coincidentally, that's about when my husband and I, boyfriend at the time, decided to start sort of dipping a toe in the water and seeing how we felt about sleeping with other people.
So were you already engaged or had you talked about marriage by then? Or were you literally just in a couple?
Yeah, we lived together. We probably moved in together after about 3 years. So we've been living together for a couple of years. I don't think we discussed marriage. I mean, at that time, I wasn't really interested in getting married. It wasn't something that was a priority for me at all. I knew I wanted to have kids one day, so we'd kind of, you know, discussed the future in inverted commas, but we hadn't kind of laid out any specific plan for what we wanted to do. But I think we both felt pretty secure that our future was going to be together. It's more that, you know, we hadn't kind of done any like state sanctioned methods of solidifying that. But we've been together for about 5 years and we were like definitely very solid.
And then how did you come to have the conversation and bring up polyamory as an option?
I don't think it was one conversation, do you know what I mean? I feel like it's hard for me to pinpoint it now, but I feel like we had a lot of conversations. I do know that when we met, I was already pretty skeptical about the idea of like long-term sexual monogamy, like over the course of a lifetime, just because I felt like it seemed like an impossible ask of somebody to just sleep with the same person for their entire life. However, I do know that when I met Rob, he was actually, I don't think he would mind me saying that he was quite a jealous person to the point that he didn't even really like me talking about my exes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, that's a journey.
I know, but that's, when I remember that now, I'm like, fuck me, he's so amazing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the thing about him is he's always been super open-minded and really up for having the conversations about this stuff and really thinking about it. So I guess that's how we got here. We must have just had various conversations. And then I think we just started thinking about what we could do that was a bit experimental. It wasn't really like, oh, okay, let's try polyamory. It was more like we both quite liked the idea of a threesome, let's say. That felt like a pretty safe thing to do. Now, obviously, knowing what I know now, technically having threesomes, having group sex, things like that does count as non-monogamy. At the time, I don't think we really thought about it like that. We were just like, oh, a threesome sounds hot. Let's do that.
How did you go about your first threesome? Sorry, Just love a bit of threesome chat over here.
I mean, I can't remember the exact app, but we basically got on the apps and kind of wrote a profile. Well, one of us wrote a profile, but it was like, it was very honest, very upfront. He probably had one, I probably had one, me and my partner, boyfriend slash girlfriend, looking for a third, let's chat kind of thing.
Yeah.
Our very first threesome, we met a girl, we went for wine, probably too much wine, because you kind of do in those situations because you're like, oh my God, I've never done this before. It's really scary. So,
so you still go on like a date first?
Well, you know, yeah.
That's like, I mean, I don't know.
It's because the way you phrased it, you were like, so you go on a date first. I was like, yes, when you come to the School of Threesomes, what we teach you is that you go on a date first. We did. That's what we did. Yes. And I think even now, I would always want to have a drink with somebody before I had sex with them, even in a one-on-one context. So maybe that's just how I roll.
To be fair, it seems sensible. It does.
And also, isn't that like part of the build-up, like the flirting and the like that, oh, I'd want all of the date stuff myself.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And even the like slight awkwardness of it is kind of excitement as well, right?
Yeah.
When you're kind of, you're there going, is this really going to happen? Are we going to do this? And then there's that moment where somebody has to be like, so, are you cringing?
Yeah.
But I think you've got to just lean into the cringe. Do you know what I mean? You've got to be like, okay, yeah, I'm cringing, but like, I'm cringing because it's exciting.
Yeah.
Maybe. Am I selling it to you?
You are. So after that first threesome, I'm guessing that was like a really positive experience.
Yes, I hope so. It feels like quite a long time ago now. We probably debriefed a bit the next day with the woman that we met just to check that she was fine and she'd had a nice time and stuff. And she was pretty enthusiastic and, you know, keen to meet up again. We actually didn't end up meeting up again just because, you know, schedules or whatever. But from mine and Rob's point of view, yeah, it just felt like we'd done this cool, sexy thing together, really.
And do you think it brought you closer together in a weird way? Well, not weird, but in, I guess, what I assumed to be a bit different.
I guess it did in the sense that, like, we were both interested in pursuing this sexual thing and we'd done it together and that was nice. You know, like a shared interest, a common hobby.
Women.
But the actual sex, I don't know that that especially brought us closer, but it was definitely hot to sort of see my partner of 5 years in a situation I'd never seen him in before. And I think it was the same for him as well.
And did you specifically pick that you wanted to open up to women?
We did. So I'm bisexual anyway. So that was kind of an easy one. And I know it's a massive cliche. And I sometimes feel like I've done a disservice to the bi community by being a cliche. Basically, when the idea of having a threesome with another woman was mooted, it was something I was immediately up for. Whereas when we talked about my fantasies having a threesome with a guy, it was clear that was going to be a bit trickier because, you know, there were more boundaries there about who wanted to get involved with whom.
The compromise.
Yeah.
But a happy one, hey?
Yeah, definitely.
How did it go from like the first threesome to what it is now?
We probably stuck to sort of meeting people for threesomes, different people for a couple of years. And that makes it sound like we were having threesomes every weekend, which we definitely weren't. Like, I would say in total, over about 2 years, we maybe had like four threesomes. Mm-hmm. Possibly five. It was good and it was fun. And then all of that time we were sort of talking about how we felt about it and if anyone felt jealous or how they felt seeing, you know, how I felt seeing him with another woman, how he felt seeing me with another woman, how he might feel seeing me with a man. And, you know, we're just keeping those lines of communication open at all times. And so eventually we sort of got to a point where we thought, okay, well, how would we feel about dating separately? And we both felt comfortable enough with it to give it a try, but it was very much with the proviso of, well, we'll check afterwards. You know, if one of us goes on a date with somebody and the other one feels horrible about it, then that's obviously a conversation we'll have. It wasn't just like, okay, open the floodgates, let's go. However, one thing that we did do, and I think this is like, at the time I didn't know because I wasn't really part of the polyamory community. I definitely didn't have any other friends who were experimenting with non-monogamy. So I didn't know that this was a really common thing for straight couples. But the first thing we did was we opened it up so that it was okay to just for me to just date women, but not men. And it's a bit icky because people, like, there's definitely a conversation to have about, like, why is one okay and not the other? But I just think every relationship, like, you know your own relationship. And to me at the time, that felt like an okay compromise to see how we get on with it. So yeah, so I went on a few dates with women and that was really fun. And I definitely sort of enjoyed the freedom of it and enjoyed that feeling of, like, dating again, because I hadn't done that for so long. And it was absolutely terrifying as well. I had proper first date nerves also because I was like, I literally haven't been on a date in about 6 years. I think I've forgotten how to do it. Like, you know, like everything, like, what do I wear? How much should I drink? How do you, like, kiss someone who's not your boyfriend? And then he started going on a few dates with women as well. And then I felt fine about that. And then basically as time went on, he was dating women and that was going okay. And then eventually it got to a point where I was like, listen, I think it's now at a stage where it's quite unfair that I'm not dating men. And I think it's getting to me, like, it's an itch I need to scratch. And it's a big hurdle for his feelings of jealousy. But I was like, but I think it's something that we need to kind of get past. So I went on a first date with a guy and then turned out that was actually okay. And Rob was like, oh, you know, actually didn't freak out, like, it was all right. So from there, we've both been kind of dating quite freely. Now, I should probably throw in that we had a baby in the middle of that.
Yes.
I definitely had we had a hiatus of about a year and a half. I did have this fantasy that I was going to be one of those fabulous pregnant women that, like, still goes out and parties and dates other people. And then actually it turned out I was just, like, really tired. So
fair enough.
Yeah, right.
From opening up your relationship as someone that's sort of never done it before, is there something that you felt you were missing, or did you want to open it because you wanted, like, more sex, or you felt you were missing out on connections? Like, what was it that you felt you were missing from your relationship to want to include and see other people?
I definitely don't think it felt like anything was missing. I think it originally arose out of just a curiosity, or just generally being curious about sleeping with other people, because it's a different experience, you know, same as, like, making new friends and going to new restaurants and visiting new countries. Like, it's just new experiences are interesting. And then I suppose it was more thinking, like, further down the line in a relationship, you know, when you've been with someone for 15, 20 years, I suppose what I anticipated missing rather than what I missed at the time was novelty and excitement and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I guess it's not like I felt anything was missing, but I suppose I was thinking about further down the line, there might be something I want that I can't get from a long-term relationship. And it wasn't just about sex. It was more about the feeling of meeting somebody new. And, you know, even when you make a new friend, it's really exciting, isn't it? Because you're learning all about them and they're kind of reflecting back to you, yeah, a version of you that you're like, oh, I'm quite fun and funny. And
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
And like your flatmates who've lived with you for 3 years are just like, oh yeah, you again. Whereas your new friend is like, oh my God, you're so funny. I'll have to tell you about this. And it's really nice. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
So I think it's that. I mean, Queen Esther Perel, sex and relationships therapist, she talks about how when people have affairs, when they cheat, they don't go looking for another person. They go looking for another self. I'm paraphrasing, obviously that's not a direct quote, but that always really struck me, is that it's not that your partner's missing anything, it's that you've stopped feeling about yourself what you felt when you were first with them.
That's so interesting.
And I think that non-monogamy allows you to explore that a little bit.
And do you ever get jealous, or does Rob ever get jealous?
Yes.
Oh, tell us.
So funnily enough, if you'd asked me this question maybe like 2-3 years ago, I would have gone, no, I'm just not a jealous person, like, you know, with my halo, I'm so perfect model of non-monogamy. But actually, what I've discovered is that it really depends on the person and the situation. One thing I can say quite confidently is that I don't really get jealous of Rob. And I think the reason for that is because we've been together for 10 years now. Like, he is my best friend. You know, he's the father of my child. He's my partner. We live together. And I just feel so secure in that relationship. And we communicate about everything. And we just always know where we stand with each other. And so it sounds trite, but when he goes off and sees his girlfriend and has a nice time, I genuinely feel happy for him in the same way that I would if he was going off to see his mates to have a good time.
Okay.
Or, you know, like going off to the football with his best mate, which is a thing he absolutely loves and that makes him happy. And I don't get it at all, but that's fine because I've got my own interests. And it kind of feels like that for me with him. But what I've realised is that not every person I've dated has made me feel so secure. So, yeah, I've definitely had issues with jealousy when I've met partners who maybe weren't super communicative or about how many other people they were seeing, people who were, you know, not as available as I wanted them to be. You know, like I'd sort of say, oh, so should we hang out next weekend? And they'd be like, oh, sorry, hon, busy, maybe 3 weeks. And then I would start to feel flickers of jealousy, like, oh, they're obviously with somebody else more interesting, more exciting than me.
Do you put a cap on it? Like, could you see someone and then have a long-term relationship with that person? Or do you try and keep it that you're just, I don't know if you would call it external relationships, sorry if I'm being offensive, that they're more casual?
No, that seems like quite a good way of putting it. External relationships. No, I mean, the thing is, I don't think we've really tested that because it hasn't been long enough. So I guess come back to me in 5 years.
Add to my calendar.
Yeah. But Rob, so for example, right now, Rob has a girlfriend who he's been with for about, I guess it's coming up to a year and a half. And then he has another partner who he sees a bit more sporadically, and I suppose you could call that more casual, but I don't love the word casual because it sort of implies you don't care about that person, which isn't really what it means. It's just more like you just see each other a bit less regularly, I suppose. And then I've got a boyfriend who I've been seeing for, God, you lose track of time in lockdown, don't you? Does it even count in lockdown? Am I even seeing him right now? But I guess like 7 or 8 months.
This is wild to me. I'm loving it. Keep going.
The thing I'm most interested in, because a lot of my friends are now starting to say meet people on dating apps who are also in open relationships. So I wonder, do you tell someone that that's the situation before you meet them? Do you tell them on the first date? And how do they often react? Because I guess some people are still quite, they have misconceptions about it, right?
Yeah. Well, it's all on my dating profile. So like if I'm on OkCupid or if I'm on Hinge or if I'm on, you know, Bumble, whichever one, it's all on there. So like literally among the first things it says in my profile is that I'm married, non-monogamous, and I have a kid, because that's also something that's quite important to let people know, because it impacts on mm-hmm. my time and my scheduling and, you know, how available I'm likely to be. So there's no way they could miss it, really. But I do tend to have a bit of a chat. Like the first part of messaging tends to be sort of just checking you've clocked that and that, like, do you have any questions? Or, but to be honest with you, these days I tend to only really match with people who also say that they're non-monogamous or polyamorous, just because it's going to be easier. There's going to be less explaining, and you hope that you're sort of starting from a bit of a common understanding, I suppose. That's not to say I wouldn't date somebody, but, you know, I wouldn't not date somebody who had never been in a polyamorous relationship before. But there's probably a part of me that would think, oh, this is going to be a lot of emotional labor.
Yeah. And God knows, probably already doing enough of that as it is in life. one thing I'm really interested in is you actually wrote a piece about cheating and what counts as cheating when you are non-monogamous. And so what's your like boundaries regarding that?
I think that's really interesting, because obviously everybody draws the line in sort of different places, you know, because there are people who would say that it was okay to do certain sex activities with an external partner, but not others. And that's pretty wild to me, because, I mean, like, sex is sex. Like, I don't know. I just, like, the idea of somebody else telling me what kind of sex I can and can't have is, like, pretty abhorrent. But, you know, each to their own. I think people just are going to do what makes them feel safe. And, you know, a lot of our rules probably sounded a bit strict, but the point is they weren't forever. They were just like, this is where we're at right now, and then let's see. And I would say these days we don't have quite as many sort of like written rules, if you like. There's not as many kind of hard and fast rules, but we tend to operate on the premise of we always discuss things beforehand. So I wouldn't go on a date or hook up with somebody without saying anything to Rob beforehand at this point. And that includes, obviously, you know, it doesn't have to be the specifics. So, for example, if I went to, let's say I went to like a sex party with some friends, I wouldn't like text Rob from the party being like, by the way, somebody wants to have sex with me, like, just letting you know this happening. What I would do is, before I even went out to like pregame and that evening, I would say, okay, so how are you feeling about me going out tonight? Like, I'm pretty open to playing with people, just want to check how you're feeling. And then, assuming he said, yep, all good, then I wouldn't bother to check in with him again after that. But yeah, we do tend to, I suppose one of our rules is if I'm meeting somebody new and I'm going to go back to theirs, I would always send him the address. But that just seems sensible, right? I mean, yeah. Like, single people do that with their friends when they're on a date. So that kind of feels more about just safety than about jealousy or anything. It's so funny now, because obviously, like, neither of us are dating at the moment. So I'm like, dates? What even are they?
We don't know, Frankie. You're asking two of the worst people.
I mean, I think basically what we tend to do now is anytime something new comes up that we haven't done before, we'll talk about it first. So, for example, the first time Rob had a weekend away with his girlfriend, he obviously kind of raised that with me and asked how I felt about that. And then ditto the first time I went away with my boyfriend, where I was going to stay overnight in a hotel and like out of town. I was like, how do you feel about that? And it's never to sort of ask permission. It's more just to see if that person's got any feelings they want to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
So to kind of, I mean, I honestly could talk about this all day. I'm so fascinated. But to kind of like wrap up, do you think more people should be open to polyamory?
So I'm really wary about saying it's enhanced our relationship, because I don't like the idea that these other people in our lives are only there to make mine and Rob's relationship better.
That's interesting.
You know, like, Rob's girlfriend her purpose isn't to make mine and Rob's marriage stronger. Like, she's an individual in her own right, and their relationship exists in its own right. Ditto my relationship with my boyfriend. What I will say is that I know that she makes him really happy, and I know that he has a really good time with her, and he you know, they have like a really good relationship. They kind of enrich each other's lives. They've got similar interests that they talk about. And he also, because, you know, they've got certain interests in common, like music, that he and I maybe don't have quite so much. So that's something he can do with her that he maybe doesn't do with me. So that's really nice. You know, like go to sort of classical music concerts and stuff. And I guess ultimately his relationship with her makes him really happy, and him being happy is obviously a good thing for our relationship, but it isn't a direct cause and effect. Do you know what I mean?
And could you go back to a monogamous relationship now?
It's really hard to imagine it. I think that I think there probably will be times in our lives when we are sort of monogamous just because that's the way things are panned out. Perhaps neither of us are seeing anybody. You know, if we had more kids in the future, there would almost certainly be a period where I, for one, wasn't dating anybody. You know, if one of us got sick or something, that might be a time when you say, okay, well, maybe put other relationships on hold because, you know, I'm going to need more support. I don't think we would close the relationship again, if that makes sense. But I could see there being times when it sort of just logistically didn't make sense to be dating. But I don't think we would intentionally end any existing relationships in order to do that. It would be more like if things naturally came to an end and there was just a period of sort of monogamy, accidental monogamy. But I suppose it's that question of, like, people do ask this in the polyamory community, like, are you still polyamorous if you're not dating anyone? And obviously, because we've only been talking from the point of view of a couple who've opened up their relationship, but there are also solo poly people out there, people who, you know, to the monogamous world look like they're single but who have different partners. If those people aren't dating anyone, are they still polyamorous? In the same way that people ask bi women who are with men, oh, so are you straight now? Are you still bi? Like, your identity is still your identity, even if you're not sort of actively doing it. Oh, you did ask me if I thought other people should be open to.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah, I don't think people should do anything. I think that a lot of monogamous folks would really benefit from some of the kind of communication exercises and the thinking that goes into a non-monogamous relationship, particularly defining where your boundaries are when it comes to jealousy, because I think that monogamous people often don't do that, and then people end up getting upset by things that the other person didn't even know was an issue, like maybe texting a colleague or something, or having a flirty chat on Twitter. I do think that sort of thing tends to happen a lot less in non-monogamous relationships because you've been quite clear about what's okay and what's not. So those are some things that I do think monogamous folks would benefit from, but I certainly don't think anyone should open up the relationship. Monogamy is a perfectly fine choice. It's just about figuring out what's right for you. Really?
Thank you so much, Frankie. Honestly, I wish we had longer. A lot to think about.
Thanks, Frankie.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
So time for the question of the week, Paisley. And we're trying to take more from you guys. So if you do have any, please send them to us. This one says, how to deal with a partner who rarely comes. It's knocking my confidence in what I'm doing. It's quite a newish relationship, but it's every time we have sex or any sort of sexual activity. I've not brought it up with him yet, as I'm quite shy with that sort of thing. I wasn't sure if it might be embarrassing for him. He does seem to still enjoy sex and blowjobs without orgasming, but each time it makes me worry that I'm not good enough.
Aww. I know, I totally get this. Like, I don't know if you've ever had it, but I've had it where I'm just, you know, pumping away on the old peen, and you're like, what's like, do you like it? And then it makes you feel really shit about yourself. You're laughing. But
no, but it was a pumping on the peen that made me laugh. Just to clarify, I'm not laughing at anything else. No, I totally agree.
Yeah,
I haven't had it like continuous like that. But when it does, because it's going to happen to everyone, yeah, you are like, oh, it's me.
Yeah, exactly. And like, it's such a vulnerable situation to be in, having sex with someone that you don't know that well, because she says it's still quite new. And also, it should go without saying that I don't expect sex to be really good and everyone to come and it to be great the first time, because that's the first time you're like using that piece of machinery. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you haven't got the whole manual yet.
Exactly. So I completely sympathize with her, and I think loads of people worry about their own like proficiency at sex. But I think, first of all, it's really important to remember that someone having an orgasm should not be the end goal of sex. Like, I know it's often painted like that because when a man comes, that's often the end. But it's actually not the end goal of sex. The point of having sex is to have fun and to bond and to, you know, have a good time. So them not coming doesn't mean that they haven't had a good time. So let's not conflate the two.
Yeah. And do you think it is worth her bringing it out with him? I know that must be such a, because also you don't want to imply that you think there's something wrong with them either. So I totally understand why she hasn't done it yet.
Yeah.
But do you think you need to have that discussion to like move forward?
Oh, absolutely. Because otherwise it'll just become a thing, won't it? Like every time they have sex, she might be thinking, oh God, and then it's just going to make it worse and worse. And the thing is, I know it seems scary to bring this up with someone, but you're literally having sex with them. If you can't talk to the person you're having sex with openly, then that doesn't really like compute. You should be able to talk to them, and you don't have to do it in a way that makes him feel embarrassed. You could just tell him how you're feeling. And, you know, often therapists say to make it an I feel statement, not you make me feel insecure. I feel insecure when this happens, and I know that's not your fault. You know, just don't put it on them. Talk about how it makes you feel. Because there could potentially be a medical reason why someone can't orgasm. You know, there's lots of medications and stuff that impact whether you can ejaculate. Or he might have performance anxiety, or he might just not be a very cummy person. Like, you just don't know the reason why, and you won't know until you speak to him. And that's the only way to deal with it, really, I think.
Just imagine we're there by your side when you start that conversation. Or don't imagine us there. That's probably not helpful at all. thankfully, we're finished.
That brings us to the end of this episode of Cosmopolitans All The Way With. Thanks to Frankie for joining us and to you for listening. And if you have any more questions, please message us on Twitter or Instagram at CosmopolitanUK.
Cosmopolitans All The Way With was recorded remotely by Number 8 Studios and is available to download on Acast, iTunes and all the usual podcast apps. See you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.